Oh, beloved Jesus, it's in your wondrous, sweet, and beautiful name that we come, and Lord, in full assurance of your love this morning. Lord God, thank you for renewing and encouraging and building the passion, the very passion that you have for us in our hearts, for you and for one another. Lord, thank you, God, this beauty of the love of Christ. Lord, just the love of the brethren. Oh, God, the love of the brethren in the Spirit, submitting one to another as unto the Lord. It's so gorgeous. It's so wonderful. Lord, this body, your body, your beautiful body, the joints, Lord God, that you have called and made and set, supply, anoint. God, give life, quicken. Oh, Lord, restore, repair, heal, anoint. Oh, beautiful Jesus. We are in awe of you always, but thankful that it's this morning to come together to lift up your name, to come together in one, to lift up praise and thanksgiving to you. Lord, only if it be face to face, yet this morning. But Lord, from the hand of God, we say thank you. And we say we love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. And praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Well, let's get at it. Matthew chapter 25. Here we go. Getting in here to a precious encouragement of the Lord. So many things being relayed here in the heart of our precious Savior. And God, let us just again scratch a little bit of the surface in your spirit this morning. But in the 14th verse of the 25th chapter of Matthew, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." Praise the Lord. "And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." See, God is telling you here, he knows what to give you. He knows how to encourage you. He knows your vessel. He knows what you can take. He will not cause you to bear beyond what you're able to bear. He knows. And with that, he always makes a way of escape. Amen. Praise the Lord. He is the way. And we give him glory in that. But notice this. So, it goes on and it says, And then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Well, he doubled it, praise God. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1, he went and he digged in the earth. See, he invested in the earth and hid his Lord's money. All what God had given him, he hid it. But he hid it in the earth. After a long time, the Lord of those servants comes and reckons with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought the other 5 talents, saying, "Lord, thou delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained." And notice, everything of what he gained was because of what the Lord gave. You see that? Everything of your life that's been of gain is because of what the Lord gave. That's the grace for grace. It never is anything else. So he delivered unto him the 5. "Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more." Verse 21. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." He also that had received 2 talents came and said, "Lord, thou delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them." His Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Notice the reward was the same. The reward was the same. The reward is always the voice, the acceptance, and the encouragement of our Lord. Brothers and sisters, just because there's another joint in this precious, and I'm going in the rib portion body, know this, sweethearts. The gain is the same. There might be a different occupying in a life, but investing what God has given in its fullest that He's given always is the reward that's the same. Praise Him. Amen? Oh, He knows what He's doing. I think I remember these messages sometimes about a pastor saying, it's like he knows not to give a razor blade to a child. Right? Come on now. Just be thankful for what God gives you. And I think you're going to wind up just fine. Praise His name. Well, so it goes on in verse 24. It says, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a harsh, hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. Boy, he sure didn't know him, did he? And I was afraid. Wow, he really didn't know him. Don't read about any fear in those others that invested their life in the Lord, do you? Isn't that something? Don't ever be afraid of God. Know His love. Know His grace. But he said, I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. And you think about this, after reading about the five and after reading about the two, you know the one would have received the same reward if he would have invested his life too. Don't look what you have, look who has you. Amen? He's given you everything perfectly for the fullness of reward. If it was anything different, you'd miss it. He equipped you and you and you and you and you and you and me perfectly. Perfectly. To the hair on our head, to our thought afar off, everything about us perfectly. For the full reward. And he said, and I was afraid, and I went and hid that talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that in thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked, slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I soweth not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto that which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he that hath shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye that unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. How vital it is to invest our lives in God. Amen? How vital it is to invest every bit of our life, every opportunity, every chance we get to step out in faith with all that is within me, Lord, every facet of my life, and invest in God. Amen. I should hear a big amen under the mass, I'll tell you. Now, it's easy to be lazy and fearful. That's the easy way. It is. Yes. It takes courage to step out in faith, and especially in this day. But with all the worthies of faith, let me tell you something, they weren't very popular. Ask Noah. Ask David. Ask Abraham. They were called fools, idiots. They were rejected, called all the things that you could ever imagine. But the thing that brought them out was they believed God and His faithfulness. God said it and it's so. I'm not going to let that bother me. Your opinion is not going to shake me. It's not. My confidence is in the Lord. My esteem is found in Him. I am now a son of God. It doth not yet appear what it shall be. But I'm going to tell you what I know. I know when he shall appear. I'm going to be like him. Because I will see him as he is. So, that one that was fearful and buried his life in fear and laziness could have had a full reward just like the other two. But he never invested his life in God, and his life ended in ruin. And that's what happens when we conform our thinking and sow our desires in the thoughts and the cares of this world. And I think about the reward that we are fighting for. Oh my. And we already have it because we've been given by the grace of God this marvelous gospel. He doesn't talk about the crown that you will get. He talks about hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. You have that crown gospel. By the grace of God, take that encouragement again. Seeing with the eyes of faith. And not just seeing things in a sense in future things. Be there. Let that faith transcend time. Have these in Christ studies done you any good? Praise the Lord. Get back there in Ephesians 1:4 and let the mind of Christ in you just explode. Let him take you all the places he'll take you. Oh my, he wants to go with him. But it's going to only be in faith. You're never going to get anywhere else but in faith. But you think about this reward. And I have to tell you, I'm burdened for God's precious people, very burdened. Especially these young people, because I love them. I love young people, always have. God give me great opportunity, and what a privilege it's been to work with young people all my life. It's not patting myself on the back. I'm just telling you, I'm thankful. They've made me happy. They've made me a better person. They've added to my life coaching, all the different things, teaching them Sunday school, all the different things in my life. I owe them a debt I could never give them back. But and I miss them. It was always fun to kind of rib the refs and get out there and teach them a thing or two. But you know what? I see young people with no hope. More and more all the time. No direction. Confused. They're sad. Angry. Bored. And why? Because they have no thought of God. You're never going to be bored when you're thinking about God. You just can't be. You won't be. When you have the knowledge of God, let me tell you something. You begin to strut. David called him, he's enlarged my steps. I love being confident in the Lord. I've tried to place my confidence in me at times. It didn't work. Thank you, Jesus. But I'm here to tell you, young people and young families, adhere to the Word of God. I'll tell you right now, it'll never be popular. It won't be. You'll be ridiculed for it. But I'll tell you what a privilege it is. It's a crowning. It's a crowning to suffer together with Christ. And if you really want to suffer with him, you'll believe the word of God. That's all he's asking you. Just believe me, honeys. I'll take care of that suffering. You watch. Now, there's many things that are coming to a head right now. I want you to turn on over to Romans chapter 1. Because we're walking in the midst of this in a very, very vivid way. Romans 1, reading from verse 28. Let's look at this together. I thank God he has our attention today. Isn't he amazing? Yeah. We're God's people. Sheep were eaten. Verse 28, he said, and even as they did not like to retain God. You think that we're in a time where people don't like to retain God? You know it. See, they don't want to retain him. He's so good. He gives himself freely, doesn't he? But we don't want you. They reject it. All right? But even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That is an unfit mind. That's a mind that is unable to discern right from wrong. I mean, look what's going on. I mean, when you look at the things that we're addressing today, cannot you see that it's wrong to be racist? Think of that. Why do I need to be told that it's not wrong? It's wrong. And we can go on and on about all of the different things that is groaning in this world and all. But it's because this is what's happened. When you don't retain God in your knowledge, God gives you over to a mind that cannot discern right from wrong. I'm happy the Lord is just going to bring it out. When our Father has something to say, listen to Him. Listen to His word. So that He's given them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. They're not fit. Oh my. They're unsound. Think about how much unsound things are going on right now. Being filled with all unrighteousness. Filled with all unrighteousness. Not just some, but all. Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God... They know the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. It's here. And notice why. It's all because of the departure from the Word of God. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Tell you what, we all need to pray, Lord, let me like to retain you in my knowledge. Let me want to retain everything. Remember the things, praise God, treasure the things that I was raised in the Word of God, not raised in my home. I'm talking about raised in the Scripture, and thank God the Scripture was in my home. Do you understand that? There's a difference. It's not about, again, it's not about my household, me being an old Dorcio or, you know, all my lineage and all those things. That can be fun and all of this. But let me tell you something. My lineage is in Christ. That's where it is. Praise God. I'm born of God. I'm born of God. If you're a Christian here today, you're born of God. That's it. Praise the Lord. That's the life I got. I got the life of His Son. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. And Lord, quicken that life in me. Let me feed that life. Let it grow up. Let it reign over all these things, praise God, that are trying to hit and trying to discourage. Let it reign. Now, all because of that departure from the Word of God, there's become a lulling to sleep. And man is being conformed to the world like never before. Oh, yes. Man is being conformed to the world like never before. And the only thing that keeps us Christians from being conformed is the Word of God. But saints are slipping into it. They're slipping into it. It's a subtle thing. Let me tell you something. Satan is a deceiver. And but for God, he's a lot smarter than us. And he's subtle. And all he wants to do is get in there to kill, to steal, and to destroy you. And he'll do it however he can. He doesn't have any more tricks. He's got them. But God. But God in this word. Oh my goodness, you put on that whole armor of God, and I'll tell you what, you go out there. His arrows he tries to shoot at you, they just foolishly fall helplessly to the ground. He protects you. Keep that which he's given. He's given you that helmet of salvation, that mind, those thoughts. God, let them be on you and your word. In everything. And let me tell you something, this bridal message, praise God, let it be in every part of your life. Let it reign in it. Hallelujah. Let it be evidenced in all the things that God has called us to, even His people. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But let it be evidenced in our marriages and in raising our children. And then in young people and going forward. Let the bridal truth reign. Amen. This isn't about being a good person or trying to be righteous. Just be righteous because you are. Hallelujah. Just be who you are in Christ. Just feed that life. I don't need to think about it. Praise God. He's given me His mind. He's given me His mind. I've had many of people say, he doesn't even think about anything when he comes up here to preach. He just do. Amen. If I ever show up here to preach, you're in trouble. Big trouble. And I'll assure you that. And if you show up in your life, you're in trouble too. You need to let Jesus show up in your life. Because that is your life. You see what I'm saying? But see, you can begin to believe a lie and then you think you're somebody else and you're not. For every one of us, brethren, every single one of us, we died. We've been crucified with Him. Amen? Amen? And there is but one life. Praise the Lord. One light, one praise, one faith, one mind, one spirit. It's tremendous, and it's so tremendous in this time. But right here is why things are unraveling. Right here. And just to take a few here today. Look at verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness. All them things listed. But one that really jumped out at my heart was being filled with all unrighteousness, full of envy. Full of envy. Jealousy. Covetousness. All of that within that envy. We are in a time of what you have, I should have, like never before. Like never before. And it's not only what you have, I should have, I'm going to take it. And I'm going to tell you this, I don't care how one might try to justify it. If you can't line it up with the Word of God, let me tell you something, God's not in it. God's not in it. And I will tell you this as well, it's not only not going to bless you, it will be a curse to you if that's the way you're going to be driven. It's the truth. If you really want God's blessing in your life, go on over to Proverbs chapter 12. So many things. We know it's the Word of God, but I'm even talking about, praise the Lord, of the Word of God in our lives. The Word of God in our lives. Amen? That it's the working in our lives. That it's the power in our lives. I don't go back and live my life how I feel. I'm getting older. I'm learning. If that's how it's going to be, it's not going to end well. I want to go out in the power of His Word. Amen? All right. Proverbs 12. And let's begin reading there from verse 11. He that tills his land shall be satisfied with bread. What that's saying there is, you know what? Go out and work. And you're going to be happy. And notice whose land it was that God gave. It's your land. It's your field He put you in. It's the truth. Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't want to pick and choose that. I just say, Lord, You gave me this. And this is what He's called me to. And I'll tell you one thing. I sure love to be satisfied. Aren't you thankful to be satisfied with the Lord and what He's given? See, when you're always after something else, you're not satisfied. I'm not talking about just being complacent. I'm talking about being thankful. Thankful. Happy in the Lord. It says that the wicked, goes on, desires the net of the evil man. Let me tell you something. The evil man's got big nets. They got lots of stuff. Bling, 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 bling. But I'm telling you what, those that have had the most, and I told you, as I say in another life, no, I've only had one life, praise God, since I was about 4 or 5 years old, I gave my heart to Jesus. But He had me in a different occupation, and I worked with some very, very wealthy people. Very wealthy people, extremely. But I'll tell you what was in
that net, for the most part, if it wasn't anything of God, it never satisfied them. They were always looking for the next deal, the next this, the next this. And I always appreciated what Brother Hill said, and then what? And then what? And bigger barns and bigger barns and bigger barns. And then what? It never ends. You just chase that tail all the way through and you wasted your life. There's something about Jesus. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with Him. This in Christ, what want I more? I said it so many times. There was a thankfulness in my heart when I just got married that was so beautiful. And take that as you just got married when the Lord brought you the bridal message. Do you remember when you just got married with the Lord and that wonderful, beautiful contentment? You say, I see this and this is the treasure of my life. And sorry, brethren, I'm wandering here. I'm supposed to stay there. I can't. I want to run out there and, yes, hug and kiss you all. But I would tell my sweet wife, I would tell her, I'd say, now, honey, let's never forget this. Never forget this. Then the Lord enabled us to have a bigger home, and have children, different things of that nature. When things started to distract and come on in there, we lived on Fillmore Street when we first got married. I said, let's not forget the joy of Fillmore. And if this is going to mess it up, we're going back to Fillmore. Do you get it? I hit, and you hit Fillmore when he gave you the bridal message. That message never changed. He gave it all to you at that moment. And he did. He brought you marriage. Don't leave it. Now, we got lots of time here today. You don't have anything else to do. Deuteronomy 30. Don't you look at that clock. It'll affect you. And I know he's got your attention today. Let him take it. It's good for it. Best attention time you'll ever have. Deuteronomy 30. Here's what he's got for his people. Listen to this. The Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of the land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which was written in the book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thine soul. Now, but going on in this, see, but we're raised in a time where, you know, we're encouraged, go out and find what you like to do. Go out and find what you desire to do. You're not going to find that in here. You're not. You want peace, you want real joy, you know what's going to happen? You're going to let God choose. You're going to let God choose. I've told you, I had a love to sing. God gave me an ability to sing. Some don't think so, but some did. Just kidding. But I sang opera, and I loved it, and I worked at it. That's what I thought my future held. Went to Europe, and there we were, and all these things. A walk around a lake, God spoke to me. This wasn't for me. I thanked the Lord. There was grace that kept me in that moment, not to even question. Very strange. All of that time invested. From 14 years old to 22, bam, that's all it was. But God brought me back. I didn't know what I would do. But God gave me peace that God would provide. Now, I loved that time of music. I loved singing. I loved performing. There was a joy in that and a beauty. But I'm telling you, it could never compare with the joy that began to come to my life. It wasn't to leave something. It was to gain something. God was going, and ready to give me more. And I can tell you that I was far more satisfied with God's choice than I ever was with mine. You let God direct, I'll tell you what, He'll have you living a life doing it heartily unto Him. Oh yeah, it's amazing what can happen with God. You won't just be waking up, I gotta go to work today. You'll be thanking God for your job. Hallelujah. Now, I've seen young people, they think sometimes they're working or playing the system. Do you hear that? Oh yeah, this thing keeps changing direction, but it's always going one way. All right? That's exactly what the system wants you to work, because then it knows it's working you. And see, that always ends just one of three ways, and we talked about it earlier, a life: kill, steal, destroy. It does. It'll rob from you any potential. It'll destroy any life of joy. And then finally, yes, death. And I can say this with such a grieving heart. I've done funerals of those. That's the way it ended. It's a truth. Verse 30, Romans 1. Look what it says there. It says there in verse 30, it says, haters of God. Also in that same verse of haters of God, disobedient to parents. I don't want my child to be a hater of God, do you? It's the last thing I could ever imagine, is my child hating God. And parents need to wake up. They need to train up a child in the way that they should go. You don't just let your child grow up. You don't. You don't say, well, I can't do this and I can't do this because of the world and this is the way. I mentioned to you the challenge with my teenage sons. You know, that was a time when, well, if they're going to do it, they might as well do it in your house. And it really just, the Lord brought that phrase to my heart. Well, okay, we'll just go ahead and do responsible sinning. What a moronic statement. But the devil will make you moronic. He'll make you an idiot. And I thank God that wasn't going to happen. Not with God. God told me, He said, right, you are not going to be an idiot, son. But He did say, are you ready? Because I'm going to tell you what happens. It's not going to look good at times. You stand for the Lord. It's not just going to come up roses. It's going to get hard and it's going to get tough. And it's going to get beyond you. And your flesh will doubt. That's all your flesh can do. But that new man, as you feed that new man, he stands there looking at that word of God. And he said, oh my, if God be for me, my teenage kids can't be against me. My neighbors, their friends, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And we're going to stand on the promises of God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something. You've got to teach them the word. It's not just getting excited and pumping up a kid about Jesus in your home. It's about knowing the Lord and knowing His word. It's not just about going through motions. It's about understanding and teaching them that this is our life. And the way you teach someone that Jesus is our life is let Jesus be your life. I can't teach you something I don't have. I can't show you something I don't possess. I can't. It's got to be love, isn't it? The only way I'm ever going to connect by God's grace with any of God's precious people, it's got to be love. Because that's the only way God can connect with me. Because that's all He is. But see, you want a future for your child. You want change for your child. I'll tell you what, raise a child. Be a parent. Don't just be present, be in it. Fight. Don't conform, be transformed. Yeah. There's a pattern, and it's a simple pattern, and it's all right here for the success for you, for your home, for your child, and it's never too late. I don't believe it is. If it was too late, this would have ended a long time ago. But God is always instant. But God is always all-powerful. Let's go over to verse 31 now. It says there, without understanding. Without understanding. And the one that jumped out there in that same part of without understanding is implacable. Without understanding, you become unruly. Without understanding, you become hostile. In Proverbs 3:5, it tells us very clearly, in all thy getting, get understanding. You know, the Proverbs are a good thing. Don't worry. It's the Word of God, too. It's all the Word of God. And you know what? Under the hand of God and under Paul's gospel, it'll all be bridal truth to you. Get understanding. Get the Word of God. It's the most valuable thing that we could ever get. And yet there is a famine for the Word of God, and men are not enduring sound doctrine, are they? We're having people turn. They have itching ears for everything else but this gospel. Now here's where it really gets good today. It's not just there. See, the Lord shows us this even in our society. Our children are failing more and more and more in their understanding. And I'm talking understanding of math and English. Do you know that one in four kids, high school kids, are proficient in math and English? One in four. So many things, if you're paying attention, if you're going to pay attention to a few things, pay attention to everything. If you're listening, listen to it all, I tell you. One of the things that was so hurtful to my heart is they had 13 high schools in Baltimore. You know how many high school students in those 13 high schools passed math proficiency? Zero. And see, and we go, oh, that's surprising. No, it's not surprising. Get understanding. And don't think it was just the 13. They had another 6 with a whopping 1%. So if you add up those high schools and think that there's 2,000 students in each one of those, you have about 40,000 kids in high school. And not one of them can be proficient in math or probably English. That's a disgrace. You're horrified right now. That's a fact. I'm not telling you something that's made up. That's a fact. And you think about giving someone no hope, naturally speaking, what is a young person supposed to do? Well, when you don't understand, you know what happens? You get unruly and you get hostile. I'm not saying it's an excuse, but it's the Word of God and it tells you what happens. That can't compare to knowing the Word of God. That's why people, all people, see, war is in the heart of man. The evil of man's going to wax worse and worse. And it's because there's no understanding of the Word of God, which is the baseline for everything. We talk about generational failure because of lots of different things. Well, even our educational system. And I'm not here to preach about that. It's just what it is. I'll tell you what, you want me to talk about it? Well, here's the truth in the truth. This is why this perpetuates. But I'm going to tell you something, parents. You can't wait for a system to change. The change has to happen in your home. You have to love your children. You have to fight for them. And if you don't, I'm going to tell you something, nobody else will. These kids, they're so valuable. They're the joy, they're the rejoicing, they're the treasure. Give them Jesus.
Give him Jesus. The only prospering that we could ever give him is the Word of God. You plant it deep, you plant it in everything. This will all grow up in your home. You'll want to care for your child. Children can even heal sometimes some disagreements between parents. Every chance you get to trust God and don't compromise. To live godly, fight being lazy and giving up. You'll always be glad when Jesus takes control. This time reminds me of wandering in the wilderness. God's grace and miracles followed him everywhere. The Word of God followed him everywhere. That water came out of that rock and it followed him all the way along. A promised land of milk and honey was just a step away. God delivered them from Egypt, but they never believed God to take Egypt out of them. They saw all those miracles, they saw all those things, but they never believed God to take Egypt out of them. Have we believed God to take the world out of us? I want you to think about that. Because if not, it's the same end. What happens when that world is, and its thoughts are not taken out? Your minds become more polluted. You'll believe more lies. You'll believe such lies that as those ones in that came out of Egypt that God delivered so mightily showed all those miracles to. Because they didn't allow the Lord to take Egypt out of them, they ended up hating their deliverer. They hated God. Yes, they did. They didn't want his word. They just wanted his acts. They didn't want his word. And they hated Moses. Instead of one step into Canaan, into a promise that God would give them more glory to glory, they rioted. They rioted to go back into bondage. Faith ain't popular. It's not. But faith's the gold. It's the riches. It's the abundance of life. And all I can tell you is to invest your life in faith. Because what faith does is it looks into fear and it responds in bravery. Faith looks into despair and responds in abounding hope. Faith looks into the impossible and walks in knowing nothing's hard for my God. And faith looks into the hatred of man and overcomes it every time. If God be for me, who could be against me? And I can tell you, God is my happiness. God's my happiness. And I'm not waiting for the world to change to make me happy. Don't you do it either. Because it'll never happen. It'll never ever happen because God won't allow it to happen. God loves you. God made you. You're his. And it's going to be God's way. And that happiness comes one way, and that's from him. Be not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And brethren, this is our mind. This word, praise God, is our life. We are called, we are chosen. We feast on the heavenly things, not on the rudiments of this world. And we are the kings. We are the kings, consumed with the perfect will of God. Amen. Let's pray. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Father, in Jesus' name, we just again say thank you. Praising you for everything and in all things. Lord, thank you for the word. Thank you for this power. Your all-powerful word. God, which is set before us and set behind us. In that hand, the word of the Lord is upon us. Lord, it is our crowning. God, we are the elect of you. God, help us truly to feast, to rise up, and to stand, withstand, and having an all to stand. Thank you. Thank you for this fortification by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.